हरि ओ
Lord Brahma then praised Kardama Muni's nine daughters, saying, "All your thin-waisted daughters are certainly very chaste. I am sure they will increase this creation by their own descendants in various ways. Therefore, today, please give away your daughters to the foremost of the sages, with due regard for the girls' temperaments and likings, and thereby spread your fame all over the universe." 14 to 15. Details of compatibility are emphasized here by Srila Prabhupada. The daughters should be handed over to the respective rishis, not blindly, but according to the combination of character and taste. That is the art of combining a man and woman. Man and woman should not be united simply on the consideration of sex life. There are many other considerations, especially character and taste. If the taste and character differ between the man and woman, the combination will be unhappy. According to astrological calculation, a person is classified according to whether he belongs to the godly or demoniac quality. In that way, the spouse was selected. A girl of godly quality should be handed over to a boy of godly quality. A girl of demoniac quality should be handed over to a boy of demoniac quality. Then they will be happy. But if the girl is demoniac and the boy is godly, then the combination is incompatible. They cannot be happy in such a marriage. It is foretold in the 12th canto of the Bhagavatam that in this age of Kali, married life will be accepted on the consideration of sex only. When the boy and girl are pleased in sex, they get married. And when there is deficiency in sex, they separate. That is not actual marriage, but a combination of men and women like cats and dogs. Therefore, the children produced in the modern age are not exactly human beings.
That explains that.
Okay. Always wondered why it was so difficult, right? Because you know, we're not exactly human beings. Okay.
Definitely, his daughters were considered brothers.
Yes. Because, see, as you have the nature, and then you have the, you could say, the spirit or the qualities, right? So the boy will take on the qualities of the father, but the nature of the mother. Right? The girl will be the other way around. You know, sometimes these words are used interchangeably. Nature, spirit, qualities. You know, here Prabhupada's using, where's he using? Character and taste. You know, because there you also understand you're dealing with what is the character and then what's the taste within the character. You know, the detail. In other words, there's the general principle and then the detail. So you try to get both to match. Does that sound like this? So, Prabhupada says that the boy takes on the nature of the mother, the girl takes on the nature of the father. Right? So in there, then the nature of the father would be brahminical. Right? So the girls would have that. But the kind of spirit or mood or character would be that of the mother. Right, so they would be brahminical, but they would have an inclination that they like, you know, seeing things well organized and well, I'd say, the facilities are sufficient. You understand? So that's why you're careful to not have them have a difference. You know what I'm saying? Because if there's too much of a difference, then one, it'll be a problem for the parents, but two, it'll be a problem for the children. You know what I'm saying? Because let us say you have the nature of a Kshatriya and the mood of a Brahmin. It's still compatible. Just like Yudhishthir Maharaj. It's compatible. You know what I'm saying? So that functions. But if you have a very, say, Brahminical character, but a Vaishya nature, how are you going to make money? You'll be too nice. You'll be too good. You understand? Like that. So that's the thing. It's why you don't want to separate it. But that's only an Anuloma. In Pratiloma, it's already off. Even one degree is off. Because let's say you have a Brahminical nature, but a Kshatriya character. The character is lower. Mm-hmm. You understand? If I have a particular nature and I have a higher character, it still works. You know what I'm saying? Let's say if I have a Vaishya with a Kshatriya character, you know, that little bit of nobleness is still good. He'll be glad he'll get his work done, but he won't be nasty. You know, he won't be, you know what I'm saying? There'll be a little more dignity in his, you understand? You know, so having a higher character than your nature is okay, but having a lower character than your nature is not. So that's why Pratiloma is never recommended, even though it's one degree. Anuloma, it's okay if it's one degree, because then your character is higher than your nature. You understand? So that's the whole point. So if you do anything, let us technically look at one thing. Now, if we look at, let's say, sports, not in the modern context, but just more of a social context, who has time for sports? Technically.
Children?
Children are there, but I'm just saying, what class of people? Right? Do they? They're working all day. So who are the ones that have some time that they can spend in some sports? The gentlemen, right? Your higher class. Or the guys who have no job and they just live on the street, then hey, you know, that's where our best footy men come from all over the world, right? You know, because all they do is play with the ball all day, you know, nothing else. So, but the point is, you know, but that's technique. But now, I don't know if it's used anymore, but it used to be that before the game, whatever it was, the sport, it was always kind of the concept was, may the best man win. So there was an element of gentleman, you know, and it's just like, it is the tradition, like let's say after tennis, or but after the whatever the match, or whatever the part when they switch, or when they do, or the end, they come together and shake hands. And that's very standard, and it should be. They shake hands, they say good game, or, you know, something, there's some praise. But nowadays, you start to see, some don't even won't shake their hand. Or if they do, it's very grudgingly. You understand? So then what's happened is that it's supposed to be just recreation. But now you're having, so in other words, on one sense, being a recreation, it's in a higher level. Though it's an art, but it's a luxury. But the mentality that's being attributed to it now is that of something very low. Right? Technically an unskilled shooter, not even a skilled shooter, or not even an artistic shooter. Right? Like that. You understand? So therefore it kind of loses something. You know, it's just a game. But these guys, it's their life. Of course, they are getting paid millions, and if they don't perform, then they lose their contract. So, you know, there may be a little more at stake here. You know, because before, you know, sports meant it was free. People just went out to play. You know, it wasn't a big deal. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the thing, is when you combine these things, and then why is it thrown off? Because of the money element. But recreation is not supposed to be about money. You know what I'm saying? Because you're making money off of recreation, so it's indirectly like gambling. So it takes on a lower quality.
Can we say it can be also business?
That's what it's saying. But business, but is recreation supposed to be business?
No.
You know what I'm saying?
For you.
No, it means it's I run a business of recreation. Okay, I have, let's say, some place people can come and go camping or this and that, and there's a fee to get in, or, you know, I have facilities. But amongst the what do you say, the recreators, you know, it's not supposed to be about money. It's just supposed to be recreation. Because you have work, you have recreation. So if your recreation is work, what do you do for recreation? You know, the NFL guy, the football, what does he do? Like ballet or something? You know, he says, you know, what does he do?
Can we say that those are shrewd that are working for somebody because the businessmen, they make money off of it.
But they are also making a lot of money. It's not that they're just getting a normal amount. You're playing football, and you're getting millions of dollars to play that game.
Only the big ones. Maybe. The stars, like they will be like the cinema stars or TV stars.
But I'm saying the kids on the street or stuff like that, or your amateur leagues and stuff like that, that's all still just what I'm talking about. That's regular. That's just recreation. You know, they may take it seriously, you know, and they all the quote-unquote teamwork and all that kind of jazz, you know. So then, but the difficulty comes is then it gets in this other where the Vaishya is controlling it, just like they control education, they'll control medicine, they'll control. And so therefore, then it loses the quality. That's what we're saying here, Prabhupada. When as soon as you mix the character and the qualities, then you start to get, it starts to get messy. You know what I'm saying? The guy comes in, and, you know, it's some very bad thing like that, and they're just about to start some procedure, and then, you know, somebody in the white coat walks in with a clipboard and says, oh, he doesn't have the insurance for this. And then everybody goes, oh, and then they just kind of do some minor things and stick them on the side. You know what I'm saying? So it's supposed to be that these things are available. And it should be that you don't need insurance because they're not expensive. You know what I'm saying? The most expensive thing you could say is the time and effort put in by the person, but that's what they're supposed to be doing. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. As soon as you mix, then the whole social thing goes upside down. So, and where does it start? Between the man and woman. And then what's the next result is the child. Their marriage is mixed, the child will be mixed. And because of that mix, they can't figure out quite what they are. Because when you are clear that technically that's what's human. So when it's not clear, that's what's not exactly human. Does that make sense? So, but fortunately, because the whole point of human life is self-realization. And the self-realization is actually obtained by the soul, not by the condition. You know, yes. Which is the good fortune. Therefore, anybody who is in the human form can develop in spiritual life, despite their, you know, how you say, lack of, you know, humanness.
Yes. But their life won't be very easy.
The life won't be easy. In other words, the social aspect won't be easy. Or the element of just the focus on the devotional will be sometimes more difficult. But as you progress, because the soul and the consciousness are the prominent element, it will become just the same for anybody. Once you come to a more advanced level, there's no distinction. But what you're starting out with is more difficult.
Can we say that even though those are not exactly human beings with proper training, even the kids,
yes,
can they get...
Yes, of course. Of course. Yeah, no, of course. But it's just a matter of how much time, how much effort, like that. Because human life is meant for this, so if one applies it in this, there'll always be success. So that's why then there's no... Ultimately, there's no real problem, but it doesn't mean that there won't be social problems. So sometimes devotees think, well, why isn't my life just like it says in Bhagavatam? Because we're not actually like the people in Bhagavatam. You know, they say, does that make sense? You know, you get into your you know, old rundown Fiat 500, and you wonder why 0 to 100 is not working out like that fancy red, you know, red car next to you looks like someone stepped on it. You know. Yeah, I mean, yes, they had a good, they had a good step. Yes, it was well stepped on. Like that. Yeah, well, the one you're in looks like it was kicked, right? Yeah. Yes.
About this character and test, can we say also to make friendship is very important to have a
yes, similar these character? Similar, right that. Because like we mentioned before, probably gives the quality here, means there's 8 different things, but he's giving one that's quite easily obvious, is this divine and demoniac quality, right? So if they're the same, they get along, because they're either just as tidy and orderly and everything like that, or they're just as untidy, or they're just as mixed. Does that make sense? So I see some people, you go into the house, it's always perfect. You go into some people's house, it always looks like a bomb hit it. And you go into some people's house, sometimes it's great, and sometimes it looks like a bomb hit it. So that's your 3 characters. So if they match, they'll be fine, because it's like, it becomes a mess, because things are happening, it's busy, there was this, that, so they understand. And then when the opportunity's there, they clean it up and it looks nice. They like it looking nice, but they also understand when it goes crazy. But the other person, even doesn't matter what's going on, it's got to be nice. You understand? They can't tolerate that it's out of place. You understand? And other people can't stand that, what, you cleaned up? I remember going into one kid's room once. Literally, there was not a spot on the floor that wasn't covered with something. You know, some bit of clothing and all that. I mean, all the way. Basically, and you know, the door could open, but after the door, then on the places of the bed, the whole floor, everything, all the way. I was impressed, you know? You know, some comments were made and whatever it is, it was all cleaned up, right? Then the kid came home, walked into their room, and they couldn't find anything. Yes. It was in the drawer. It's like, oh my God, where is it? You know? They were freaking out, you know, what do you do to my room and all that? We cleaned it up. Now I can't find anything. You know, it's kind of like, you know, yeah, where are these? Oh, they know they're right over there. You know, so that's the difference in nature. You know, like you have somebody, don't touch my stuff. It's a mess. Don't touch it. You know? I think it was a funny thing. I think it was head of the FBI, Herbert Hoover. And then I can't remember what was the name of the guy that was the head of the KGB. That they had a desk, big desk, and they had stuff on. I mean, tons of stuff everywhere. It was a mess. So their assistant, who would clean, because they had to clean the desk every day, would come in, take a Polaroid picture, clean the desk, and then according to the picture, put everything exactly back the way it was, even though it was a total mess. Because if they didn't, they would get in trouble because the guy didn't know where stuff was. But it was interesting how the head of the KGB and the CIA, excuse me, they both had that same nature, right? So they were well matched. Therefore, Cold War. Because if one had been better, it would not have been cold. Right? Yes?
You said the boy is taking the qualities from the father and the nature from the mother?
Yes. It's like this. If the father is a Brahmin and the mother is a Kshatriya, the boy's nature will be a Kshatriya, but he'll have that character or qualities of a Brahmin. So he'll be like a more sattvic Brahmin. I mean, more sattvic Kshatriya. You understand?
And the girl is just opposite.
The girl's the opposite. Right? So in that combination, then the girl will take on the quality of the father. She'll be a Brahmin, but have that Kshatriya flavor. Does that make sense? You could kind of say nature and flavor. You have to find a word that you can relate to. Does that make sense? But you don't worry. But when you're making what's analoma and pratiloma, you do it according to the boy, not according to the girl.
It's the girl is better if it's pratiloma.
The girl is superior if it's pratiloma.
Yeah, would be.
Then she will get.
I mean, because the point is you always work out the marriage according to the boy. You don't work it out according to the girl. Because the point is boys and girls are opposite anyway, so that's the compatibility. You know what I'm saying? They're of the same nature, but opposite. You know, it's like I have a bowl and I have a shoe. Right? They don't match with a bowl and a spoon, do? Or a bowl and a cup. Because a bowl and a cup are in the same category, but they match. Right? While the bowl and the shoe doesn't. Unless it's, of course, you know, a stiletto and a champagne. Okay? Then it might work out. Is that coming? Yeah, so you don't worry about it on that side. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because what works for boys, the opposite works for girls.
So being the Varna Shankara, can we reverse the process? If we don't practice Krishna consciousness,
it means it's said that in seven generations you can bring a Brahmin back up to the standard. 5 a Kshatriya, 3 a Vaishya. Yeah, so in other words, if you end up with a Nishada that marries a Brahmin, then it'll slowly bring over the seven generations, it'll bring it back up to Brahmin. So it can be done even mechanically. Mm-hmm. But our point is this: why wait 7 lifetimes? Especially since, you know, you could say, you know, how you say, the Shudra element is pretty elevated.
Yes.
You know, while we're mixes of mixes, then God only knows how many generations it will take. You know, so. So therefore, by Krishna consciousness, in one lifetime, one can come up to that standard. Just how seriously you take. It means how seriously you take the sadhana, Vaishnava etiquette, you know, the direct devotional activities, the philosophy. Then to that degree, that quickly, one comes up. Like you see is, what is his name? Jayananda, the temple president in San Francisco. He started the whole Rath Yatra and everything, made that all happen. Now, he drove taxis to make money. Because in those days, it didn't have collection and stuff like that. So actually, devotees just had jobs and supported the temple. Like that. So then, but he was one of the most nicest, enthusiastic, and good organizers, and real personal, like that. So the character was, you know, that of a Brahmin, but his occupation was that of a Shudra. Like that. I've also seen one devotee, Head Pujari, has his own, you know, Shaligrams, Puja. He's been a Pujari for as long as I can remember, since the 70s. But as a job, he works, God only knows where, Tesco's or something. You know. So you do have that where there's the one, but because of that commitment, you see the Brahminical manifest. You know? So. And then sometimes this mix will just be because of emergency. There's nothing else available. Oh, things are back to normal, right? I haven't had one of those for a while. Yeah, so then it's emergency. So then sometimes it's not available to do what they're doing and stuff like that. So, yeah. Okay. So, you have to look at the marriage that it will go peacefully, because the point is you're trying to get the two individuals to be able to go through their life and deal with their desires and then go back to Godhead. But because of their dealing with their desires, you have children. Children also should not be of a mixed character. Because otherwise, then you have, now it's like the parent is one nature, the other is the other nature, now the child's a mixed of that. So if that's already a problem, then the kids, you know, it's inherent. It's not, you know, I'm one, she's another, it doesn't match. It's just, I'm both. So just as much problem it is for the mother and father to interact, the kid has a problem interacting with themselves. Do you understand? And then, now how do you find the compatibility there? Then you have to find someone who has that mix. Right? If a Nishada marries a Nishada, you get a Nishada, so it works out. You know what I'm saying? But if a Nishada marries something else other than Nishada, then he gets something more weird. You know? Does that make sense? So that's why one's very careful about this. So there has to be nature. Right? That's the most important. Does that make sense? Yes.
By nature, ladies, they like kids.
Yes.
But sometimes we see a situation when a married couple, when the lady, she doesn't want any kids.
Well, then she should marry someone who doesn't want kids either. Then they'll be happy.
And then it's fine.
It's fine. You know, in other words, because generally grihastha means the whole package. But if there's somehow or another, whatever reason, not attached to the whole package, they should marry someone else who also has that lack. Because otherwise, I've seen families where he doesn't want kids, she does, but then she agrees to marry him, and then saying, okay, we'll go by with no kids. Years later, she's trying, and he still says no, and then she freaks out because she was hoping that over the years, through the affection, the relationship, he would agree, but he didn't. Because his thing was, no, this is what we said, this is what we're doing. You know, which shouldn't have been the case. Because the point is they did get married. He did know she wants, so she does ask, you know what I'm saying. But whatever it is, in the marriage broke up. Like that. So one, it should be very clear that if they both want, both don't want. It's also nice that, you know, one wants 10, one wants 1 or 2, you know, it should match. Otherwise, it's also going to be a problem. You know, one wants to send him to Gurukul, the other wants to send him to Harvard. You know, this is going to be a problem. You know. That you can do. That you can do.
Revealing the plans.
Yes. Yes. That you can do. You know. Because then there's the foundation. You know, it probably wouldn't be the best students. So. Yeah, no, you do see it. We've seen kids from the Gurukul actually go to university do fine. But kids that went not to the Gurukul, who went to university, didn't do so well in like full-time devotional service. Some do, but a lot, it's trouble. You know, at least not at an earlier age. You know, maybe at 30, you know, they kind of start to see, well, maybe I should get serious. So does all this make sense? So there's the thing of the combination because of the child. So you have to see that doesn't happen. Yes?
Maharaj, in Kali Yuga, everything is mixed. Nature is mixed, moods are mixed, character is mixed. How does the compatibility work out?
You do your best. You know what I'm saying? Do you stuff your naan inside your Raj Kachori? No, so whatever it is, you do your best. Right?
Yeah, but in certain cultures they don't allow that. Like compatibility is done by a man and woman together who want to get married rather than the superiors who are involved.
But the point is you have to get the same. It's like this. Whether you cook yourself, your mother cooks for you, or you buy something at a restaurant, what is the purpose? What's the result you want to get?
To satisfy hunger and just have a taste in food.
Right. Okay.
Okay, same thing.
Do you understand? It's easier if other people do it. Because us being attached to it, we're too close to necessarily use our intelligence. Right, that's why the Vedic systems let someone else do it. Right, the boy and girl can walk around starry-eyed, and the people that got, you know, their brains are working, they can make the arrangements. You understand? So you know, win-win, right? You know, the couple lives in that idyllic, you know, environment, and everybody else sees that everything is managed nicely. But if you do it yourself, then you have to understand, you have to manage it and see that it's right. Do the charts match? Where they match, if they match all the way, great. If there's something, some weakness there, means what I'm talking about, weakness means from 50 to 8, it's 92%. I'm not talking below 50. Right? Then what is that weakness and how much of a problem that will be? You know, so you know, because that's not going to go away. That's going to be there. It's something you're going to learn to work with. You know what I'm saying? So then you have to know that. Then there's the character just that you can make a marriage work. There's commitment to the effort. Because even if you have a perfect balance of the character, you still have to work. Just because I have a perfect, you know, I bring in, you know, whatever it is, a world-class chef and ask him. He has unlimited budget. He can set up my kitchen however he likes. Now, once he's set it up, does that guarantee that I have good food? No, because you still have to go in the kitchen and cook. You know what I'm saying? Okay, it means you have a, you know, first class, you know, however, 300, you know, euro, you know, non-stick pan. Maybe when you boil your water, you won't boil, you won't burn it. But it still doesn't mean that you know how to cook. Does that make sense? So that's the thing. If you want it clear about that, then if individuals make their own arrangements, fine. But the point is you have to get the results that are meant to be gotten. Because he says, oh, this whole thing, you know, how you say, you know, the seniors, they arrange it, arrange marriage, oh, that's old-fashioned. It may be the technique is old-fashioned, but what you're trying to accomplish is not. You know what I'm saying? Let us go back. Okay. Caesar and, you know, whatever ladies he was hanging out with, what would they get involved in as couples? Is it different from now? Let's say we go back 1,000 years before that to the Greek civilization. When men and women hung out in a close environment, was there something different? You understand? The guy's in a mansion, right? Down on, Marine Drive, okay? And when he's hanging out with his wife, is it different than the guy that lives in the Busty, you know, a couple of kilometers away? So therefore, what you want to accomplish is exactly the same. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Like we said, whether it's the Fiat or the Ferrari, it's to get you from point A to point B. That's its purpose. So if you can accomplish that, great. It's not about the externals. So the charts in that aren't externals. It's someone else arranging it, that's externals. You have a big grand wedding, you just, you know, have something quiet on the side, you know, a million relatives come, nobody comes, you know. At least have a priest there, right? You know, unless you're from Kerala, then you just need a tree. Right? Does that make sense? Okay, so the idea, the Vedic concept is to get human beings. But even if one's not, it still works. Right? Like the Kimpurushas, Kinaras, they still worship the Supreme Lord. Hanuman is known as a great devotee, and he's not exactly a human being. So the process still works, but you can't take it lightly. You know, you can't say, oh, it's Kali Yuga, it doesn't matter. Oh, it's Kali Yuga, so I'll boil you up a pair of shoes. What? Shoes? They're Nikes. Come on. You know? But I'm German. Okay. Adidas. Oh, boy. You know? Okay. No, I didn't like that, brother. Okay, Puma. See, come on. So picky. You understand? So how's it going to work? It has to be that there is a function. And it doesn't matter that no one knows. Most children don't know the nature of fire, and they get burnt. It's not that the fire says, oh, it's kids, I'll only burn them after 16. Do you understand? So that's the thing, is that in the nature works the way it is. Now, you want to follow it nicely, you get the result. You don't, you'll get a bad result. It doesn't matter who you are. How educated you are, what you think of you are, you know, is it the same? Who you are or who you think you are. It's still, material energy works exactly the same. All it is the Vedas, is the the easiest way to do something that gets the best results. So if that easy is not as easy as you would like, that's because it will get you a better result. If you use something easier than the Vedic system, it will give you a lesser result. Does that make sense? It will. But the better you know the science, then the closer you can get it to what you're trying to get it to. You know what I'm saying? The methodology may not be ideal, the situations may not be ideal, but the core elements will be the same. The principal elements will work. You know what I'm saying? Husband and wife, they have compatible nature, even let's say they're not in a nice house. Their relationship still works. They would both like a nice house, but if they don't have a nice house, they can still cooperate. You understand? But if they have a nice house and they don't have compatibility, then what does it matter? Right? It does matter because you're going to lose it. She's going to get it. Right? Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. That makes sense? Yeah. Therefore, you find there are... It's very common that Prince Charming looks like an ordinary person. And if you like him as an ordinary person, you're compatible, then you find out he's Prince Charming. Right. No? Otherwise, you know, who's not going to like a Grimaldi? Right? Yes? No? Okay. Brahma revealed the purpose of Kapiladeva's event, advent. O Kardama, I know that the original Supreme Personality of Godhead has now appeared as an incarnation by his internal energy. Right? So he's pointing out that Krishna is coming as Kapila. He may not be manifesting the full potencies because he only has to explain Shankya so that one understands on the Brahman platform how to get out of the material world, right? And then that is applied to bhakti. So then through that method, you get out of the material world. Yes?
Is Kapiladeva a Shakti Vishavatar?
Not that I know of. I think he's Vishnutar. That I know of, he's Vishnutar. But what I'm meaning, he'll be an expansion of expansion. He won't be Swayam. Yeah, he won't be like Lord Chaitanya or like that. That's what I mean. But when he says the original Supreme Personality of Godhead has now appeared, because it means Krishna has appeared as Kapila. Like that. It's not that Kapila is something separate, it's just that to do that work, that's how much you do. It's just like, depending upon what activity you're going to do, you dress accordingly. You know what I'm saying? If you know, if you're going to try to unplug the toilet, you don't necessarily put on your best clothes. Right? You know, so like that, it's just whatever is the work that you're doing, that's how much Krishna manifests. So, but it's still Krishna. Mm-hmm. Like that. We have to, so it's important that we don't make too much of a distinction. Yes. We can distinguish how much Krishna is manifest, but we understand it's still all Krishna. Yeah. So. Okay. I know that the original Supreme Personality of Godhead has now appeared as an incarnation by his internal energy. He is the bestower of all desired by the living entities, and he has now assumed the body of Kapila Muni. By mystic yoga and practical application of knowledge from the scriptures, Kapila Muni, who is characterized by his golden hair, his eyes just like lotus petals, and his lotus feet which bear the marks of lotus flowers, will uproot the deep-rooted desire for work in this material world. Right. So here's where golden hair is not so bad. Like yeah, in other words, he was a, you know, some variety of blonde.
Yeah. Blonde, not like a red.
No, golden would mean you're, golden color. It means like a yellow blonde. You know, not the white blonde, and not a dirty blonde, you know. I mean, that's the names they use, right? No? They don't call it dirty blonde?
Yes.
What do they call it?
Dark blonde.
Dark blonde. That's the new term. Okay. Well, that's the
dirty blonde.
Huh? Yeah, I think it also kind of, you know, it's just, it depends on that, what social context you're in. Just like sometimes they make their drinks, and they want the drink dirty, you know? So it depends, if you're in that, then they may call it by that, but if you're in another group, they may use other euphemistic terms. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, it's considered a proper term, you know, say dirty blonde. It just means that it's not the yellow is less, the brown has come more. Does that make sense? But, okay, dark blonde, light blonde, blonde blonde. I'm not sure if that separates it from the IQ element that they attribute to the colors. But he's smart, so blondes can be smart, right? You know, so it's not, you should be careful of the stereotype.
He's a man.
Huh?
He's a man.
Yeah, that's it. That's true. I didn't think about that. Okay. But it doesn't mention blue eyes. It just says lotus, eyes like lotuses. In this purport, the activities and bodily features of Kapila Muni are very nicely described by Srila Prabhupada. The activities of Kapila Muni are forecast herein. He will present the philosophy of Shankya in such a way that by studying his philosophy, people will be able to uproot the deep-rooted desire for karma, fruit of activities. Right? Because when you analyze something too much, it loses its the flavor. Right? So that's the whole point, is that you analyze at the point where there's no interest. That's the whole way Shankya works. Right? Everyone in this material world engages in achieving the fruits of his labor. A man tries to be happy by achieving the fruits of his own honest labor. Right? So that means the honest labor means according to your duties. If you do your duties, that's honest. If you do someone else's duties, even though they're well done, it's dishonest. Right? So it's interesting, in the age of when everybody's so worried about truth like that, most are engaged in things that are dishonest. You know, they want honesty, but their work is dishonest. Because it has to be what your nature is. You do that, that's honest work. Yeah.
Isn't it everybody acts according to their own nature anyway?
That's there, but then the thing is you don't want people who have philosophies that you don't have to. Because otherwise it messes the system up. Mm. The office worker has to be an office worker. He will be an office worker. But what's the character in which he'll apply himself to that? If it's, let's say you go back in time, you know, some years. Then it was, you had a job, you're supposed to go in and work nicely. Do your best. Right? But now there's, you know, this whole thing where there's not respect for authority, then people feel it's their right to not behave properly. And so, how is the effectiveness of work? Not so good. You know what I'm saying? And why is that? Did the common person think that? Why would the common person think that? The common person is, yeah, the common person is going to think like this. I have a job, it makes money, I'm able to eat. I lose my job, I don't eat, so I do what it takes to keep my job. Right? Therefore, amongst the common person, they'll never think to behave badly at a job. If they do, they're not supposed to be there. You know, they have to, you know, move down on the food chain. Right? You know, like that. You know, like try, you know, carrying dead bodies and burning the, you know, the burning gods or something like that. You know, then it doesn't really matter. You know, so the whole point is that they do. Now, who comes up with these ideas that you don't have to do this, we're free, we have our rights? The common person?
No.
Some intellectual doesn't have much touch with reality. And so it appears to be a great thing because, there are those in the positions of authority that misuse and try to get more out of it. But instead of correcting that, they just break the system. because even, they're smart, but they're not intelligent. Right? In other words, they have intelligence, but they don't have knowledge. So they go about the system in a way that breaks it down. So now, as they have, no one respects authority, so nothing works. You know, and then how did that improve life? How did that make it better for everybody? Because before it was kind of like you knew you could go out and get a job. You just had to have the proper character and have the proper attitude. But now it's not guaranteed you can get a job. Hmm? Why have a machine do a job? It does it better. You know? But before it was, the person does a good job. You don't need a machine. You know what I'm saying? So if all the people work their best, then the business guy makes more profit. Everybody just, you know, does very little, he makes less profit. So then what happens? He has to cut back. There's a good chance he'll replace you with a machine. You know what I'm saying? You know, we can say, no, but by nature the machines will take away. No, but the point is, who runs the machine? I mean, Silicon Valley is full of robots or full of people? Hey? Full of people with brains. They make the robots that everybody else is using. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. Is that if everything is proper, then everything works nicely. So that's honest labor. You do what you're supposed to do, that's honest. You do something that you want to do it, but it's not your nature, that's dishonest. So it's easy to see. If something's working, the person's, what he's producing and his behavior, you know, according to that position, all match, they're doing what they're supposed to. Or they're doing what they're supposed to, but they lack character. But in any case, it works. If it's not working, that means people who aren't supposed to be doing it are there. One cannot get out of this entanglement unless he has perfect knowledge or devotional service. Right? So, since the perfection of knowledge is devotional service, if one's engaged in devotional service, even if one doesn't have very great amount of knowledge, but one is fixed in devotional service, one will get the benefit and go back to Godhead. Right? But according to that degree of what intelligence you have, that has to be engaged in the Lord's service. And so, therefore, one studies these things. Right? But ultimately, it's not about the knowledge. It's about its application in devotional service. In other words, the body, mind, and words have to be engaged in the Lord's service. So the study of philosophy is how to engage the words. That will control the mind, which controls the senses. Right? Jnana means knowledge received through disciplic succession from the scriptures. And vijnana means practical application of such knowledge. Right? So here's another very nice distinction between jnana and vijnana. Jnana means knowledge received through disciplic succession. So if it's not received through disciplic succession, it's ajnana. It's ignorance. So that's the point. All modern knowledge is ignorance. Right? Now, you can say, no, it can all be used in Krishna's service. Yes, but then it has to be connected to the disciplic succession. And that means according to the perspective of the disciplic succession. Otherwise, it's not connected. We just take it, use it according to our own means, and say it's connected. That's not good enough. Right? Ask most people on the planet, they're saying they're doing a great job. Then there's a reality. Right? So just because we said I'm using it for Krishna doesn't mean we are. Right? Is it getting the result? Are people becoming Krishna conscious? Are we advancing? Then we could say yes. But if it's not, that just means it's our attachment. K Kapila Muni's Shankya system of philosophy is based on jnana and vijnana. So you receive knowledge through the cyclic succession, then you practically apply it, and from that you get realization. So that's jnana and vijnana. Lord Brahma told Devahuti, because there's nothing what's in his philosophy that isn't useful in the modern. The modern doesn't have something that Kapila Muni's philosophy doesn't have. Right? That's all. They just use different terminology and group things together in strange ways. That's all. But otherwise, whatever's practically working, it's all there, because this is how the universe works. Right? So this is science. And other things that today they're called science, it's just it's starting from pratyaksha. It's not the succession, therefore it's ajnana. Now anything that matches, great. But it's not the glory of the modern knowledge, it's the glory of the Vedic, because the Vedic is the thing. Right? That we're reading about how you put together man and woman, you know, according to the Vedic system, and then they produce children. Right? So then that's according to that from that you can get jnana and vijnana. Right? You have the knowledge, you're trained, you apply it, then through that process you get vijnana of how the material world is not really the place to be. Right? Now the modern, they also, men and women get together by their own system, they create children. But is there jnana and vijnana? No, there's ignorance and more ignorance. Right? You know, oh, such a beautiful bundle of ignorance, you know, like that. Oh, so cute, right? You know, does that make sense? Right? So the thing is there is no realization, there is no way to get out of it. But you could say, no, but it can be engaged in Krishna's service. But how? By the ajnana that is going on, or by the jnana and vijnana that is how it's supposed to be? So the point is that men and women get together and they produce children. Then that, yes. So I'm saying, you understand? So there's a science there. So where is the science based on? Modern? It's based on the Vedic. So it's not that the modern has anything that the Vedas doesn't have. They just use different terminologies. Does that make sense? So that's why we say whatever works, that's Vedic. But it means it's the principle on which what you see is working, that's what's Vedic. So if you see it in line with Parampara, then it's jnana. You apply it with that mentality, then it's vijnana. But if you see it according to the modern, even though it's a Vedic element, then there is the mix of ignorance. And so there's a good chance it won't give you realization. You might not even get knowledge from it. But you'll get some results for Krishna, because you're using it for Krishna. You know, you're taking the ignorance, using it for Krishna, but the problem is, because it's ignorance, it will have a reaction. Like that. Because goodness is what elevates. Goodness is what gives results. Does that make sense?
I have a question. When we are studying the Sankhya philosophy in Siddhartha, it means it was the original Kapila who was presenting.
Yes, yes.
But it was distorted.
No, the point is that any of these things used not in connection with the Lord, then that's what is the incorrect usage. Just like when we do presentation, we always present according to Panchanga Jnana, right? So we always according to logic.
Yes.
But when it's used as a philosophy, you know, as the ultimate, and that ultimate is not in connection with the Lord, you know, in bhakti, that's the problem. Right? Because all the systems naturally accept the aspect of the Supreme. There is an atheistic Kapila.
Yes.
But in one sense we could, yeah. But the point is unless it's actually personal, technically, then it's impersonal. Yes. Right? Even if we accept like Patanjali, he's dealing with super soul, But if you don't accept Bhagavan, then there's a problem. So they just don't go far enough. So they all accept the element of this supreme controller. But it's not about the supreme controller, it's just about us. You know what I'm saying? It's just like one's in a country. But one's not worried about how you're part of this country. You're just worried about what you can get in your lifestyle from being in the country.
Yes.
You understand? So that's not, you wouldn't call that, you wouldn't say that that person is nationalistic. Even though he's in the same situation and everything. Does that make sense? So the same way is, that's why they said they're agnostic. So it's not that they are against the Supreme, it's just not that they're not necessarily in support of the Supreme. Does that make sense? So that's the point. So the mechanics of each thing works exactly in the same way, because they're all part of the Vedic philosophy. They're aspects of Vedanta. Right? If you're dealing with karma and all that, then that's your Purva Mimamsa. You know, if you're dealing with meditation, that's Patanjali, right? If you're dealing with the mechanics of the metaphysics of the universe, that's Shankhya, right? If you're dealing with the point of the attraction and that of the atoms and all, and how everything's created, that'll be Vaisheshika. And if it's just the logical presentation of how you analyze things, you're not doing it in a sentimental way, that's Gotama. So all the six are naturally part of Vedanta, because you want to properly do it, you want to understand the technical, how they go together, but Shankhya will include these things. We see Bhagavatam includes, just he focuses on that exclusively. But he, that aspect is not brought out. You know, that the atoms aren't together because the Lord enters it as attraction, so that means everything's held together because of that attraction. Right? So you have time, space, and attraction. Because if there's no attraction, then you don't have something to work with, so there's no meaning to time. If there's no space, where does everything get accommodated? But what's the point of space if there's not something in it? Right? So generally they just take time and space. They take the gravity element as just as for granted. Because they take it, you know, okay, the earth has gravity. That one molecule is connected to another, one atom is connected to another, that you can actually have something that you would call their elements. You know, it's like that then they don't even consider that. You know, because if you don't know what time and space is, why would you know what gravity is? You know what I'm saying? So it's just these things aren't, because you have to have all three. Right. Is that some sense? Yeah. And then why is that there? This they don't even get into all. Is that it's the will of the Lord. Right? So that's the thing. It's accommodated, it's attracted to each other, so you have something. It has a function, so there's time. But there must be a result. And the result's not just mechanical. The result, things aren't done because of their mechanical result. Things are done because of what'll happen. Right, the scientist puts something together, and that result he gets, it makes him happy. If it didn't make him happy, he wouldn't be doing it. You know what I'm saying? So why is one researching in this disease, someone in that disease, someone in this aspect? That, because that's what makes them happy. You understand? So each is a very important element. So you have to have all four. So they kind of have a general idea of two. Right, so Shankarshan and that aspect of Vasudev, they get a little bit up, but Prajumna and Aniruddha, they just don't really catch. Because if there's Aniruddha, they take that's sentimental, that's subjective. And which everything totally is. There's no such thing as objective. You know, things are objective for this rock. But if you're conscious, you're a person, you're subjective. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like you have a group of little kids. Technically, they're not good at anything. Right? But if one can swing a stick around a little fancier than the other kids, even though what he does is really still very uncoordinated. He's the expert, right? And the other kids are, you know, don't know what they're doing. But is he expert? No, you know, they do something. He says, that's not how you do it. You do it like this. So just because they say it's objective, is it objective? That's the whole thing. It's just they agree amongst themselves that this is this level, what they would call this subjective, this objective. But it's still all subjective. Is that something? Yeah. Is that work? Yeah. Okay. Lord Brahma then told Devahuti, my dear daughter of Manu, the same Supreme Personality of Godhead who killed the demon Kaitava is now within your womb. He will cut off all the knots of your ignorance and doubt, right? Because that was her prayer, that she would be brought to the platform of fearlessness, right? Now if you have ignorance and doubt, you're fearful. When ignorance and doubt go, there's no fear, right? There's a sound in the corner of the room, it's dark, you don't know what it is, there's fear. As soon as you know what it is, it doesn't bother you. You know? Does that make sense? So that means when doubt, you know, because you doubt what it could be. You know, is it a monster? Is it a dragon? You know, is it a big, you know, slithery slug? You know, whatever it is, you're worried. But as soon as you find out, you know, it's just your kid's rubber duck, you know, and it's sitting in the corner and shouldn't be in the bathroom, but somehow or another it's under the chair, then, you know, everything's normal. Doubts are gone, ignorance is gone. Right? So fear is gone. Right? Then he will travel all over the world. Right? So again, it seems to be a pattern here. Husband's going to travel all over the world. The kid's going to travel all over the world. Right? But the point is she's freed from all fault, ignorance and doubt, and therefore all fear. So then what's the problem? This is a side point. And she gets to keep the flying palace. Not that, I don't know. I just so it's not that bad.
Okay. Without traveling.
Huh?
Without traveling.
Without traveling. Okay. A great treatise on doubts forms the substance of Srila Prabhupada's purports. Shamshaya Granti means doubtfulness. The knot of doubtfulness is tied when the soul identifies with the material world. That knot is also called ahankara, the junction of matter and spirit, right? So false ego is where matter and spirit get together, right?
Yes.
So the false is the matter. The ego is the spirit.
Yes.
Matter has no ego.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Isn't it? You know, have you ever met a toaster with attitude or something? Is that so that's the whole point is that they go together. So if there's false ego, that is the knot that brings about the junction. So you get rid of false ego, you get rid of the knot. That means then there is no connection. Right? It doesn't mean you don't work with, but it doesn't. But you're not that. Does that make sense? So you have to know what's real ego. Yes.
If you can get to that point by realization.
Yes. Yes. Means the vijnana. You know, means when you have knowledge from the parampara and you apply it, you'll get vijnana. So it's not a problem to get vijnana because, as we said before, is that applied knowledge. You know, it means if we're saying third class intelligence means only when you do something you understand it. Mm-hmm. But the point is it's also only by doing something that you get vijnana. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So the difference is that by hearing you understand it, by application you get realization. You know what I'm saying? Or you heard it, don't understand it, you see someone else applying it, you get realization. Right? So application is there. Right? But I mean, you get knowledge, excuse me. Then you apply it, you get realization. Or you hear, you don't understand it, you apply it, then you get understanding, and by continued application, you get realization. So that's why, even if one's using third-class intelligence, you're just basically a step behind, or two steps behind. But the point is realization comes from application anyway. It's just a matter of knowledge. Did you get the knowledge through application, or did you get it before the application? Does that make sense? Otherwise, then, when you apply subject matter, then you'll get knowledge. But someone who's gotten the knowledge by hearing or seeing, then applying the knowledge, they're getting realization. Does that make sense? So it just means, but once you have knowledge, then does that make sense? So it's just a small lag. So because the Vedic civilization is all about intelligence, therefore the principle is less intelligent to function by third class than by first class. You know, and second class would be in between. It's a mix of both. Is I don't have to do it, but I have to see someone else do it. Does that make sense?
For us, it would be a step up.
Yes, it would be a step up. But it comes with time, because you get, and then from doing that, then you add to that by seeing others. You already have a basis of knowledge, then you can add to that. You know what I'm saying? But still, you have to start it by doing it. But it works. Does that make sense? So, yes.
I have a question about Ahamkara, about the false ego, matter and spirit. It means when it is the real ego, means everyone is seeing only the spirit, or the connection with the spirit.
Say it again, because somehow or another I got distracted, because when you said Omkar, then I thought of Omkar.
Yes,
and I was thinking, now he's French, and he had a lot of Ahamkar. And, you know, and then you started, and then I lost it. Sorry about that. Okay.
It means if Ahamkar is a false ego, means spirit and matter?
Yes.
So real ego means it's only spirit?
It's only spirit.
To see only the spirit.
Yes, so that way you also see matter as just Krishna's inferior energy.
Yes.
So you're not actually dealing with material.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Means the saintly person, they're in a body, a material body, I mean a body made out of the inferior nature of the Lord. But they're not actually in the material world, or in material body, or in material consciousness. But it doesn't mean that their situation is not here, physical.
Yes.
Because consciousness, they're in the spiritual world, so they're working under the internal potency.
Mm-hmm.
But the internal potency, since it's one potency, the Surup Shakti is one potency, you can get the effect of internal from external. Just like to come here, we get the effect of external from internal.
Yes.
Right? Means who is it? Shankachuda. He is dealing with, you know, gopis,
yes,
in Vrindavan,
mm-hmm,
which are internal potency, but he's getting a material result from them. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the whole point is it can work either way. Probably gives, mm-hmm, the example, the electricity can heat or cool.
Yes. Yes.
Right? It runs the refrigerator, it runs the heater. Or the, you know, like that. It does both. It does anything, because it itself is one thing, but it has variety. It has vishesha, special. Just like Krishna, he's one, but there's vishesha, right? So he, for him, there's vishesha both in him as the supreme and within his energy. And with the energy, it's just within the energy. Does that make sense? But the two go together. Therefore, how he manifests himself as in his Vishnu Tattva is arranged by the internal potency. But you can tell it's him because of the masculine aspect, and you can tell it's her because of the feminine. So even though the manifestation of Radha Krishna is by the internal potency, you can tell who's Krishna and who's Radha. You understand? So that's why it says when Krishna manifests through his internal potency. Because he and his energy are non-different. But you know it's him. Like when you see him, you say, this is Krishna. because him and his energy are non-different, but it still is Krishna. When you see Radharani, then you know it's her, even though she is non-different from Krishna. Right? Because how will she manifest this energy without the existence of Krishna? Right? And how will Krishna manifest that we can appreciate unless there's energy through which medium? Especially us, we're energy. Right? Krishna can understand himself without manifesting anything, and he's still himself. But we won't be able to appreciate it because we can. We're our connection to Krishna is through his energy. Does that make sense? So we're portion of the internal potency. So we're not part of the external. But we can function under either. One happily and one less happily.
Maharaj Brahmanandi, he understands that he is spirit, but he doesn't understand the masculine and feminine principle.
He may understand, but it may just be gyan. So when it comes to vigyan, then that's where he can function on that. But that's the point, is that one should have the knowledge. Sometimes it comes up as that, oh, you know, I mean, someone's going to get married anyway. What's the point of all this brahmachari? But the point is you have to have the knowledge of it. Like, it just struck me about the aerial palace, right? Like that, just to further that discussion. Now, if she had the aerial palace and she could fly all over the universe, would she want to do it?
No.
No, why not? Because she's alone, because the palace and the flying over meant something because it was connected to the husband.
Yes.
And why did he manifest that, the aerial mansion? For her. So what is his nature? No, but I'm just saying, that's there, but I'm just saying, what is his nature of house?
Not to be there. Not to be there.
No, that's another thing. But I'm just saying, him on his own, if he has a hut, what does it look like? A hut or a palace? A hut, right? Okay? So now, if she wants to be close to him, what's his nature? She would live in a hut.
She did.
Yeah. You understand? So that's how it'll work. That's why it's natural like that, because the boy grows up as a brahmachari. That's where his nature is. Because nobody remains a grihastha. So that's, the grihastha life is taken up so that husband and wife can function together. Right? Otherwise, why would then he move on vanaprastha and then sannyas? Right? So therefore, it's natural for the woman also to want to be in a simpler environment, because that's closer to the nature of the husband. The actual nature. And then, you know, full nature is that of devotee and servant of Krishna. So that's there and then Krishna. But we're just talking about the element of the sentiment here. So that's why, if it works, then it's natural the husband and wife simplify things as vanaprastha, or he simplifies more and she remains at the house of the son. You know, does that make sense? You know, and then when he takes sannyas, goes back to even more that roots, then it's natural for her to also do the same thing. Just make things more simple in her own life. Does that make sense? So one can say, oh, these things are artificial. No, they're not. They're perfectly natural according to the nature. That's why the Vedic does things in this way. Otherwise, it's thought, you know, we do it, how you say, oh, that's the Vedic thing, but you don't have to. No, that's what you naturally want to do. You know, that's just... Does that make sense?
Is it very deep?
Yeah. No, it is. The Vedic culture is very deep. But it's just, the difficulty is this is not something you can explain in one sitting.
Yes.
You know, that's why it's ideal you've grown up into it. Yes. It means the ideals, you've been conceived into it. Yes. Right? Then you're at an advantage. Then you grow up in it. Right? But if not, because of intelligence, one can understand what it is and what should be done and learn to use it. It works. It's just like, let us say you have a good cook, and they write down a recipe. I'm not a good cook. I use the recipe. The results basically come out the same, but the difference is the one is very comfortable and natural in that and can do all kinds of variations on that, while I can't. I can just follow the thing. I'm not as comfortable, I get it done, I may be an exact, but it works. So the end result of cooking is I get some good food. But it doesn't mean I'm not an anxiety throughout the whole thing. So the same way is if you follow the Vedic culture, even if it's not as natural, you still get the results. But you have to know what you're doing. You have to follow the recipe. I can't say, oh, you know, recipes are old-fashioned. I don't know how to cook and I don't follow a recipe. Now what do I do? Eat in the restaurant, yes. But, you know, eating in restaurants is old-fashioned. Now what? You'd have to say, you would have to admit that eating a can of beans out of the can is more recent. Right? You know, as far back as you can go is basically World War II. Like that. You can't go before that. They didn't have it. Right? Now, putting it in a microwave and heating it up before you eat it, now that would definitely be much more contemporary. You know, that'll bring you up to the, you know, at least in the mid of 70s, but 80s, 90s. You know, so like that. So therefore, eating in a restaurant, restaurants have been around for, you know, forever. So that's more modern, yes. Yeah, okay. You can definitely work on it. But that rules out all your fancy places. So. It's funny. I didn't... Yeah. Oh, probably he was going to come down here and turn on the fan and take a nap or something. He figured out that's not going to work. Right? Is that okay? Yeah. Okay. By proper knowledge received from the scriptures in disciplic succession, and by proper application of that knowledge, one can be free. One can free himself from this binding combination of matter and spirit. Right? So in other words, false ego goes away at vidyan. But it has to be gyan in the first place. And that means you have to hear it from disciplic succession. Right? Then you have to apply it according to the directions, and then you get vidyan. Then you become free. Because we notice many who are using these modern techniques and vocabularies and everything like that, is the false ego becoming less? No. In fact, it may be even getting more. You know what I'm saying? As a teenager, okay, you identify as a Westerner, but it's not a solid thing. But now when you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and then you're saying, we're Westerners, we can't follow this, that's way tighter knot than it was when you were a kid. You know, so that's a problem. So that means is because we're not starting with we're rejecting the knowledge in Sampradaya, and therefore we're not applying it. Then that ends up as Apasampa. Okay, yeah. The appropriate Sanskrit term may not be politically correct, but truthful. That's the thing. Non-political correctness should at least be accepted on the principle that it's truthful. You know, it's interesting how if it's politically correct and you're blunt, it's just being truthful. If it's not politically correct and you're being blunt, it's uncultured or, you know. Interesting, no? Very subjective. So one can say the Vedic is subjective, and we'd say no. Because the Veda is from Krishna, the Parampara, so there's no subjectivity at all. It's the only objective position. So, yeah. Brahma assures Devahuti that her son will enlighten her, and after enlightening her, he will travel all over the world, distributing the system of Sankhya philosophy. So not only will she be benefited, the whole world will be benefited. You know, and that's also nice. You know what I'm saying? The husband travels all over the world and leaves you alone. That's maybe not be so great. But your son travels all over the world and benefits the world, and that's something you can be, you know, feel good about. Yeah, proud of. Yeah, because the mom, even though he's trapped, she can still say, I'm his mom.
Yes.
You know, but I'm saying the sannyasi, she can't exactly say, well, I'm his wife. You know, so, you know. Yeah, yeah. Actually, it doesn't carry quite the same weight. Right? So that's why mom is the, you know, the mother is the actual principle that always applies. So therefore, that's why the Vedic term mother is always used, because any situation you can use it. You know, wife, daughter, friend, these things sometimes have their application. A mother always has. Like that. Huh? Yeah. So it's scientific.
Mama.
After he travels, she will be again at
home? Ah, that we'll see. She may be alone. She'll go live with the daughters or something.
She can go back to her father.
She can go back to the father, she can go to the daughter, she can just live on her own. You know, depending on the age, then she can take up meditation and just, you know, leave her body through meditation. So, you know, she has plenty of options. Because he was taking sannyas, that was the thing of before. He didn't just say, I'll take vanaprastha, because otherwise then she could travel with him. But you know the principle of that he made in the beginning. I bumped into the pillar. He's got him over his head. He can't see. Okay. That's a combination of matter and spirit.
I'm leading the way.
Yes. But he already saw the Supreme Lord before. Because Kapila Muni is going to leave home anyway. So then he's going to be stuck at home. So then.
No, sometimes it's some association.
He had that sometime association. Because his point was not that. It was not as much, it was more about becoming absorbed in the Lord than the parental rasa. Parental rasa is there in some degree, so that's why you see in these bigger, these Swarupa and Swayam descents, then the parents there include all these others. But these don't include everyone else. Like Kardama and Devahuti are Kardama and Devahuti. But Nanda and Jashoda include Kardama and Devahuti.
Yes.
So, like you see, Krishna is explaining to Nanda Baba, you know, about the Indra Yajna and all that. So there is instruction and stuff like that, but you know, it's just one part of the thing. But what you see with Kardama, that's the main element. Okay. So in other words, she's going to, that means this knowledge that he's going to explain, she can understand, she can apply, she can get realization. So that's the beauty of the Shankya system, it's for everybody. Right? These other systems may or may not be usable by everybody. But Shankya can be used by everybody. That's why it's so useful then with Vedanta. Because Vedanta being the universal, you know, philosophy, then using this technical aspect of Shankya works very nicely. Because it's not that there's a problem in women analyzing things. They analyze things all day. You know, there's probably not a time when they don't analyze. You know, even when they just relax and kick back and do absolutely nothing, they're on Facebook analyzing things. Right? But the man likes to get into a state of total lack of analyzation.
vegetation.
Yeah, vegetation, yeah. So therefore, it's natural for men to be vegetarians. They like to vegetate, right? So it goes well together.
Yeah. If you're talking about recreation,
yes.
You need to recreate.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because you create so many things, then you have to recreate. But for women, it's not about creation, it's about the experience. So it's just always analyzation, but it has to be in that connection. But here, you're going back before things turn, you could say, as such, personal. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't have a detail where it gets the emotions going. It's just mechanics of how everything is analyzed. In other words, so the technique of analyzation is the same for men and women, just the areas where they apply them are different. So when you use the man's area of analyzation, the women can't relate, and vice versa. But if you use the Shankya system, therefore everybody can relate to it. Does that make sense? It's just what example you would use. Shankya philosophy presented to men, you would use examples that apply there. For women, you'd use those examples. So, it'll work. And we see here, because he's explaining it to his mother, any examples used there, then therefore will work on for everybody. Right? So now taking that, because it's heard in disciplic succession, you take that and apply it, you'll get realization. So that means anybody could take this and go back to God. Right? Because main thing is here, he's just saying that free oneself from the binding combination of matter and spirit, that's what it's for. But, so doing that to get out of the material world so you can serve Krishna, that's the thing. So we follow Shankya in devotional service. Atheistic appeal just follows it to get out of the material world. That's the difference. Right? Just like you have yogis who are devotees who follow the Patanjali system to realize the super soul and take up devotional service, while others do it just to get mystic power to get liberation. So that's the atheistic side of it. Using logic so you can see the philosophy in its proper form, so that you can understand it to apply it in Krishna's service, that's the devotional. Just doing it to get yourself out of the material, that's the atheistic. Does that make sense? You know, following Varnashram so that it creates a nice social system in which devotees can interact with each other to serve Krishna as Daiva Varnashram, that's the devotional. Following it just because it gives material benefit, that's the atheistic. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is all six are part of Vedanta, but they are studied separately. Right? Just like Buddhi Yoga is one thing, but the element of karma, jnana, and dhyana are studied separately in Gita. Then we apply them together. So all these six are actually Vedanta. Right? Vedanta is the complete form of it. Right? But being studied to be used to support Vedanta and devotional service, that's then useful. Using them on their own, that's a distraction. Does that make some sense? The word shamshaya means doubtful knowledge. Speculative and pseudo-yogic knowledge is all doubtful. So that means anything that started from pratyaksha is samshaya. It's doubtful knowledge. Because where's its connection to the absolute truth? If you say, okay, well here's the connection, where, how do we know it's a connection? Where did we get that idea that this is a connection between a speculative aspect of knowledge and non-speculative? It has to be according to the Veda. It can't be according to the Shamshaya. Shamshaya can't connect itself. Right? Real knowledge can connect it. Sampradayic knowledge can connect to Shamshaya. You understand? Why? Because you're pointing out what's the real aspect of it. So technically it never connects with Shamshaya. It just clears away what is the speculative aspect and leaves what's the real aspect. Does that make sense? So in that way, when we say yukta vairagya, everything's connected, used in Krishna's service, that means you look at everything since it's Krishna, you find out what within that is connectable to Krishna, and connect that. You don't actually connect the item as people are seeing it from the mundane perspective. So technically, you don't engage anything in Krishna's service, you know, in a speculative way. You engage it according to the actual knowledge.
There is no ahankar.
Yeah, there's no ahankar. Because ahankar means that I'm connecting matter and spirit together. So that's the problem. So we're trying to leave the matter and keep the spirit. You know? So if false ego is involved, then there'll always be something, material will always be there. So if somebody does things, something, you know, with proper technique and a humble mood, he gets a very good result. If someone does the proper technique with false ego, then he'll get the good result, but he'll also get the material reactions that go with the ignorance.
Yes.
Right. Does that make sense? At the present moment, the so-called yoga system is prosecuted on the understanding that by agitation of the dispensations of the bodily construction, one can find that he is God. Interesting way to define yoga asanas and pranayama. They say agitation of the different stations of the bodily construction, because that's what they're doing. So they're agitating rather than trying to generate that focus and peacefulness, because it's not for meditation on the Supreme. So all they're trying to do is create an environment where they're not going crazy, or their health is better, or, you know, something to do. They're bored. Right? So it's actually on the activity part rather than on the result of meditation on the Supreme. Right? The mental speculators think similarly, right? Because in other words, they're agitating the different stations of the intellectual, you know, abilities. Right? So that's why it says that no one is peaceful. Right? The person who is sinful, the person who is pious, and the person who is interested in liberation, none of them are peaceful, because they're all agitating the senses and the mind, the intelligence, for a mundane purpose. Right? So as long as there's false ego, there's always going to be anxiety and fear. As soon as you get rid of the false ego, you get rid of the fear. Real knowledge is expounded in Bhagavad Gita. Just become Krishna conscious. Just worship Krishna and become a devotee of Krishna. Right? So that's what we're trying to do. It doesn't mean your nature changes and that you change what you're doing. A lot of times someone's doing something. Let's say someone's doing some big management. And there's some problems. So now, according to the modern paddhati, what would be the proper solution for this?
Check it out.
Yeah, remove them from management. What's the Vedic process? Remove the false ego that's involved in their management. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, then, if we follow the modern paddhati, after a while, there's going to be no one left. Because everybody does something wrong. It's just a matter of whether there's someone looking for it. You know what I'm saying? You know, before it was, someone did something wrong, it was dealt with. The modern is, there's a committee that looks for wrong. Is that it? But if you continue that, there'll be nothing. So the Vedic is, you take what is your nature, engage it in Krishna service, because if I remove them from the position, now how do they do devotional service? Right? You engage your nature in Krishna service. So that's why Krishna says in the Gita, you have a right to perform your duty. No one can take that right away. It doesn't matter who they are. You cannot take away their right. You can say, I have the authority, but who's given the authority that you can do that? Because Krishna says right there. Somebody said. So that's why the modern ends up in so much turmoil, because it's not an appropriate system. Well, the Vedic is correct the ego. So what do you have to do to correct the ego? There must be knowledge coming in parampara. How do you gain that? Through association. So what's the most important thing? Association. right? But this other is easy because I don't have to give association. I just sit in a room, no one knows who I am, and I dictate what should be done. So what effort have I made? Right? All I've done is cultivated my latent ability to fault find. And unfortunately, Haridas Thakur doesn't find that, he says that that is not a quality of, that is useful in devotional service. Does this make sense? Yes. Kutinati, or fault finding, is of anarthas is the worst. Right? Means attachment to sense gratification, right? Not behaving properly. These things are less of a problem than fault finding. Fault finding is the worst. Right, Tom. Reviling the Vedas, I think, is the equivalent to intoxication. Mm-hmm. Someone says, oh, we don't care for the Vedas. That's equal to intoxication. Yeah, so that's the thing, is by our culture, because we come from a culture that's based on kutinati and the four, and breaking the four religious principles, it's very hard to, you know, readjust everything. It's just like this. It means intoxication, right? Your general standard stuff. What's it made from?
Wheat, rice.
Yeah, but what is the element that's within it that actually makes the alcohol? Fermenting, but fermenting what?
Sugar.
Okay, so kids, can they take alcohol?
No.
No. Kids take sugar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Intoxication.
Yeah. So that's the whole thing. You know, they're bouncing off the wall. Right? So it's inherent in the Western culture. You notice that? Does that make sense? So that's why everything has to be in balance. So then you can do something. You know, the adults kill the animals and the kids go out and kill the bugs and other things like that. Nobody minds. You know what I'm saying? So everything's there. You know, the adults are political, the kids are political. They fight. You know, they're just kids. Rather than, no, kids aren't supposed to fight. Because if kids don't fight, then as adults they won't fight. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. It's so inherent in the culture that we don't even realize that what are the effects of what we're doing. You know. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, actually, technically more yavana. Because you can be, you know, a vegetarian, you know, someone who follows the Western culture is vegetarian, but still is not in support of the Vedic culture, that's a yavana. But generally speaking, yavana is always tend towards meat eating. So it's just like you have a simple farmer. He's a meat eater. So he's a malecha. He doesn't have the big philosophy. He's not against the Vedic culture. But those who are specifically against the Vedic culture, like you saw the moguls, they're yavanas. Like that. So we also have to understand. So malecha is actually a better position than yavana. Right? Because they're less involved. But the yavana generally means he has some brains, he has some dynamic, he's not so much in ignorance, there's more passion, so that's useful. But the point is the passion and ignorance, unless you can, those elements that are there that are useful are connected to Krishna from the Vedic perspective, then it's not going to turn into realization. So that's the whole thing. Even viewing the modern has to be viewed from the Vedic perspective. That way you can engage everything in Krishna's service because everything is Krishna. If you use a modern perspective can't see things connected to Krishna. They can't even really see what they're looking at. You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say we have this huge, nice public park. Really well done, quite expensive. So, now, from the modern perspective, is that good or not good?
Yeah.
It's good. Why would it be good?
People can hang out.
People can hang out for it. Now, there are people who will say this is a waste of money.
Yes.
What could you have done with that money? No, that's another thing. I'm not talking about that. Is it? Huh? No, but I'm saying is you have the more, let's say, the more intellectual group that doesn't actually have that much money. Now, what are they going to think? You could have fed people, done well for, you understand?
Yes, yes.
So then you're going to end up with just taking care of these people that have bad karma and at the same time having no nice facilities. Because the point is the person who has bad karma, I feed him today, I have to feed him until his karma runs out. So does that mean everybody else doesn't get it? So you have to create a balance. So you have to take care of the populace and have nice things for them. Otherwise, if everybody's just worried about the feeding who's poor and all that, we're focused on poor, so everybody becomes poor in mentality. Right? So there has to be a refinement. So there must be education. Because you could say it's also education. You know, your phone, everything. Everybody could just live on the street and have nothing, and then everybody would be the same. That'd be the real equality. Everybody lives on the street. You know, but then the problem is the street costs money. I forget what it is. It's only like $1 million or €1 million a kilometer or something like that. So like that. So we should just have dirt roads. Huh? Yeah, that, there you have it. But then who can do that? Promise. Yeah, those who have good karma, right? The guys with bad karma live in the inner city, right? Yeah. So we see is that the point is you have to balance between the refinement of the population. It has to be uplifted, because otherwise, why will people give in charity unless there's a refinement? If everybody's just getting by, then why would you understand? So you have to balance it, that you're refining the society at the same time you're taking care of these things. So that's the Vedic perspective. Otherwise, you get one or the other. Okay. So like that. Real knowledge is expounded in Bhagavad Gita. Okay, let me just go down. Just become Krishna conscious. Just worship Krishna and become a devotee of Krishna. That is real knowledge, and anyone who follows that system becomes perfect without a doubt. Right, so how technical you can understand within that system, that's individual. Right? But the point is that principle of always being engaged in Krishna's service, that's what's going to make things work very nicely. Lord Brahma concluded, your son will be the head of all the perfected souls. That means of liberated souls, that system to get liberated. He will be approved by the acharyas, expert in disseminating real knowledge. Right? Not speculative knowledge, but actual. So real knowledge means how to get out of the material world. Right? And among the people, he will be celebrated by the name Kapila. As the son of Devahuti, he will increase your fame. Because generally you say Kapila, right? The son of Devahuti, not Kapila, the son of Kardama. That's why he's saying he will increase her fame. Right? Because he's not worried about the fame. He's just going out to the forest, right? Right? At least she's worried about the fame until she becomes to the point of not worried about the fame. So at this point... Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, who is also known as Hamsa, went back to the highest of the three planetary systems on his swan carrier with the four Kumaras and Narada. Okay, he doesn't give the purport here. So he mentions that he went with Brahma after this, now went with the four Kumaras and Narada back to you know, Satyaloka. But Papa points out it's because now the other brothers who have stayed there are going to get married. Yes. So then the brahmacharis don't stick around for the marriage.
Yes.
Like that. So that's why they all came to see and discuss and all these things like that. So that's nice. And now for the marriage, and you know, the Brahma and the brahmacharis, they leave.
But also the father of the Brahma.
That's there, but in this, but technically here is that he's the grandfather. Yes, so now the important person is the father, you know, I mean, in this case, of the girls.
Yes.
He gives away the girls.
Yes.
You know. Like that. O Vidura, after the departure of Brahma, Kardama Muni, having been ordered by Brahma, handed over his nine daughters, as instructed, right, according to nature and taste, to the nine sages who created the population of the world. Kardama handed over his daughter Kala to Marichi, and another daughter, Anasuya, to Atri. Right, so that's, she's the one from Anasuya, Vidyamandala. Like that. So she's known as one of the, you know, most chaste girls in the universe. So. He delivers Shraddha to Angira and Havibhu to Pulastya. He delivered Gati to Valaha, the chaste Kriya to Kratu, Kyati to Bhrigu, and Arundhati to Vishishta. He delivers Shanti to Atharva. Because of Shanti, sacrificial ceremonies are well performed, right? Because at the end of the sacrifice, it's always Om Shanti, Shanti, you know, that let everything be peaceful. Thus, he got the foremost brahmanas married, and he maintained them along with their wives. So, not only did he do that, but he also took care of them. Thus married, the sages took leave of Kardama and departed full of joy, each for his own hermitage, O Vidura, 19 through 25. So then these are the sons of Brahma Zeus. You see, right, Daksha was not there. Because Daksha marries then their children. Right? Because when you have the 21 Prajapatis, then you're going to have these first ones who are sons of Brahma. Then you're going to have the ones that are after that. Or they may be sons of Brahma, but they're not marrying in this group. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Srila Prabhupada ki Sarva Veta Bhakti ki Jayatai Gaurav ki.